Have you ever stopped to think about just how much of our lives happen through online conversations?
It's everywhere, isn't it?
Totally. From, you know, quick updates on social media to these really dedicated communities people are part of, our digital lives are just huge.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're doing a deep dive into that whole world, online discussion platforms. We want to kind of peel back the layers.
Yeah, look at where they came from, which is pretty surprising, actually.
And explore the features, you know, what makes them work, the people involved in running them.
And the privacy stuff, that's crucial and often kind of overlooked.
Exactly.
Right. So the goal here for this deep dive is really to give you a clearer picture of what these platforms are, how they've evolved.
And what you need to know, right?
Yeah.
Whether you just hang out on them sometimes, or maybe you're even thinking about starting your own community.
Precisely. We're aiming to pull out the key insights, the important bits, so you feel well-informed pretty quickly.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Let's journey back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to picture now, but imagine a time before the internet like we have it today. Online communities were just a completely different thing.
Oh, absolutely. The whole idea, the concept of online communities, it sort of started bubbling up in the late 70s, early 80s.
The BBSys, right.
Exactly. Bulletin board systems, you'd use a dial-up modem. Remember those sounds?
That sound.
Right. To connect, share files, post messages, have discussions, all very text-based.
Primitive by today's standards, I guess.
Definitely. And then in 1980, Usenet came along. That was a big step, kind of a precursor to the forums we know now with threaded discussions in different news groups.
Okay, but here's something that really surprised me. People are still dialing into BBCs today, is that right?
It's absolutely true. Yeah, it's not just a museum piece.
How does that even work now?
Well, usually they connect over the internet now using Telnet.
Yeah.
And terminal programs like a sync term.
Okay. But why?
That's the interesting part. For some, it's pure nostalgia, you know, recapturing that feeling.
I get that.
For others, it's about finding these really specific tight-knit groups. And some see it as like an alternative.
An alternative too.
To the big guys. The data scarking giants, as some call them, like Google or Facebook, they see BBSs as a safer place, maybe, away from the usual online noise and toxicity.
Like a digital refuge.
Sort of. You see examples like Particles BBS. It's reliable, supports old school text, like PETSI for Commodore users, ANSI for others. Apparently has a really friendly community.
Wow.
Or there's one called A80s Apple II BBS, which runs on actual old Apple TI hardware. Just ASCII text. A real taste of the past.
That's amazing. It really shows how deep this need for online community runs, doesn't it?
It really does.
Okay, so let's move forward a bit. The 90s. The internet starts to become, you know, more of a household thing.
Right. Accessibility goes way up. And that's when you see the first web-based forums starting to pop up, as early as 94, actually, with things like the WIT project.
Okay.
And then came the big names. Platforms like PHPBB, vBulletin, these really became the standard for a long time.
Reddit's predecessors, you mentioned.
Yeah, in a way. They were built for those in-depth, long discussions, all sorted into topics. And this whole evolution kind of paved the way for the first social networking sites.
Like 6degrees.
Exactly. 6degrees.com in 97, then Friendster in 2002, MySpace in 2003, LinkedIn also in 2003. They really expanded that idea of an online identity, connecting people, not just topics.
And then boom, Facebook arrives mid-2000s and just changes everything, brings it totally mainstream.
Mm-hmm. That led to this huge explosion of different platforms in the 2010s, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all doing slightly different things.
Plus, the niche communities really took off too, right?
Yeah.
Reddit, Discord, Slack for work.
Absolutely. And now in the 2020s, you have TikTok shaking things up and this really noticeable push towards decentralized networks, Web3 stuff.
Driven by privacy concerns, mostly.
Yeah, that seems to be a big part of it. People wanting more control.
Okay, so quite the evolution from text commands to TikTok dances. But let's unpack the core components. What actually makes an online forum?
Right. So at its heart, an internet forum is just an online place for discussions. People talk through posted messages.
How's that different from, say, a chat room?
The key differences are usually message-length forum posts tend to be longer and, critically, archiving.
Mm-hmm.
The messages stick around. They're saved.
Gotcha. And they're organized, right?
Yeah, usually in a kind of hierarchy, like a tree structure. You have broad categories at the top.
Okay.
Inside those, you have sub-forums for more specific areas. And inside those, you find the actual topics, or as most people call them, threads.
Threads. Yeah. Okay, that's the core, right? The actual conversation. Tell us more about threads and maybe some of the lingo people use.
Definitely. So a thread is just that collection of posts, usually shown oldest first, but you can often flip that. It all starts with the original post, the OP.
And OP can also mean the person who started it.
Exactly, original poster.
Yeah.
You'll hear terms like bumping a thread.
Ah, just posting to bring it back up the list.
Precisely. Or stickying, or pinning a thread. That's when mods or admins make an important thread stay right at the top of the forum no matter what.
Useful for rules or announcements.
Yeah, and there's a difference in how replies are shown too. Flat forums just add posts one after another, so you quote people to show who you're replying to.
Okay.
Whereas threaded forums, like you see on Reddit, indent the replies, so you can visually see who replied to whom. It creates more of a branching conversation.
Right, makes sense. So beyond that basic structure, what are the common features you usually find, the things that make them usable day to day?
Oh, there are loads. User selectable themes are common, lets you change the look and feel.
Customize it a bit.
Yeah. Unread message tracking is huge. Some just track since your last visit, you know, session based. Others have full tracking, keeping a database of every single post you've read.
So you can even mark things unread to check later.
Exactly. It sounds small, but it keeps people coming back. Then you've got personal messages, PMs for private chats.
Standard stuff.
Pretty standard. Attachments for uploading files, though usually with strict limits. And for formatting posts, you often see BB code instead of HTML.
What is that? BB code with the square brackets?
Security, mainly. It's generally safer to let users format text with BB code than allowing raw HTML, which could be exploited. Plus, you can create custom BB codes to embed things like videos easily.
Oh.
And of course, emoticons or smileys, little text codes that turn into images. Polls are common, too, for quick opinions.
Gross.
Ignore lists, sometimes called faux lists, let you hide posts from users you don't want to see. Avatars, the little profile pictures, signatures, that block of text at the bottom of posts, and subscriptions, so you get notified about new replies.
So lots of tools to manage the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond the code, the features. It's really the people and the rules that shape a community, isn't it?
Absolutely. The human element is everything. You've got your different groups of users.
Like who?
Well, you have guests or visitors, people just browsing, usually can't post. Then members, the registered users who participate.
And lurkers. I've heard that too.
Right, lurkers. They visit often, read a lot, but rarely or never post themselves. Nothing wrong with that, but they're a distinct group.
Okay. And then the people running the show.
Yeah, you've got moderators or mods. These are often users themselves, usually unpaid volunteers, who manage the day-to-day discussions.
What do they do specifically?
They handle spam, delete or move posts that break the rules, lock threads that get out of hand, warn users, sometimes ban people. It's a tough job, honestly.
I bet. Especially as volunteers.
Definitely. And above them, you have the administrators or admins. They handle the more technical side, appoint the mods, set the overall site rules, control how the site looks and functions.
Sounds like a mini government sometimes.
Yeah.
So given all that, what about the rules and the challenges mods face dealing with, well, people being people online?
Huh, yeah. Every forum has rules, usually in an FAQ or sticky post. Admins and mods create and enforce them, and users can usually help out by reporting bad posts.
But things still go wrong. Yeah. What's common?
Oh, sure. You get trolls, people who just post inflammatory stuff to get a reaction.
Don't feed the trolls.
That's the classic advice, yeah. Then sock puppets, one person using multiple accounts to agree with themselves or cause trouble. Sneaky.
Yeah, that's bad.
Spamming, obviously. Repeating stuff, posting ads, sometimes botnets doing it maliciously. Some forums are strict, even calling short posts like, thanks. Spam.
Really? Okay.
Double posting same message twice. Necroposting, reviving really old threads, which is usually frowned upon.
That's not bad.
Just messes up the flow, brings irrelevant old stuff back to the top, breaks netiquette. You might also see automatic word censors that block certain words.
With asterisks.
Yeah, though sometimes they mess up the Scunthorpe problem, censoring innocent words by mistake.
Ah, right.
And of course, flame wars.
Great.
Discussions that just get nasty, personal attacks, especially on hot topics. Good moderation tries to de-escalate that. Focus on the issue, not the person.
With all that potential drama and harmful content, what's the legal situation for the people running these forums, especially in the U.S.?
It's a big question. Generally, in the U.S., Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act provides a lot of protection.
How so?
It mostly shields the platform owners and moderators from being liable for what users post. It treats them more like a library than a publisher.
Okay, that makes sense.
But there's a huge human cost to moderation. We can't forget that. There was that big Facebook settlement, for instance.
With the moderators who got PTSD.
Exactly. $52 million. It highlights the real mental toll of constantly dealing with disturbing content. It's not an easy job.
Definitely not. So thinking about the average user now. What does all this mean for you when you post something online? How much control do you actually have? What are the risks maybe we don't think about?
That is such a critical point. You really have to remember that pretty much anything you post online can be and likely is indexed by search engines. Google sees it.
Even if you think it's just for your friends.
Potentially, yeah. Even private groups or settings might not be as private as you assume. And it's not just what you post, but the hidden data, the metadata.
Like location tags on photos.
Oh. Exactly. Or the time you usually post. Details in the background of pictures. All these little bits can be put together to reveal a lot more about you than you intended. It's the whole picture, the pattern.
That's a bit chilling.
It can be. So always think before you post about others, too. Ask their permission. Their privacy matters just as much.
Good point.
And definitely read the site's privacy policy. You need to know what they do with your data. Are they selling it to advertisers, sharing it?
Stuff people usually just click agree to.
Unfortunately, yes. Also, be aware of the rules. Posting stuff that's violent, hateful, copyrighted, false, harassing, that can get your content removed, your account banned.
Or worse.
Or even lead to legal action, civil or criminal in some cases. And the toughest part, once it's out there, you lose control.
Meaning?
Even if you delete your post, someone might have screenshotted it, shared it elsewhere, talked about it. Removing it completely becomes incredibly difficult, maybe impossible. You own your content technically, but you don't really control its spread.
Wow. Okay, that's sobering. So what practical advice, maybe things people don't always think of, can you give listeners to protect their privacy better?
Well, first, just be more mindful. Pause before you hit post. Ask yourself, what could someone figure out from this? Am I okay with that?
Just taking that extra second.
Exactly. Second, be super careful posting about other people. Always err on the side of caution. Get their okay. Third, when you sign up for stuff, look for the privacy settings during setup.
Don't just click next, next, finish.
Right. That's often where you can opt out of data collection or sharing defaults. And finally, yeah, run antivirus, anti-spyware, but also periodically check the privacy settings on the platforms you use. They change, and the defaults are almost never the most private option.
Good, actionable stuff. Okay, let's shift gears. For people who aren't just using these platforms, but maybe want to build or manage one, what are the modern tools, the strategies for creating a successful community?
Right. This brings in the role of the online community manager. That's the person, or maybe a team, who handles the strategy, picks the platform, works to get people engaged, moderates. It's a key role.
And you said lack of management is a big reason they fail.
It really is. You can't just build it and expect them to come and stay and behave. It needs active nurturing, active management. It's often underestimated.
Makes sense. So if someone's serious about this, what are the key steps? What's a winning strategy look like?
I'd break it down into five critical parts. First, choose the right platform. And this isn't just picking software off a shelf.
What should they look for?
You need to evaluate based on how much you can customize it, how good the moderation tools are, can you segment users, does it have automation features?
Like email triggers or badges?
Yeah, gamification stuff like awards, badges, and how well does it integrate with other tools you might use? You've got open source options.
Like Discourse.
Discourse is a popular one, yeah. Modern, powerful, but maybe complex to host yourself. PHPBB is still around, very extensible, but can look a bit dated. Flareum's newer aims to be simple, fast, good on mobile.
And commercial options.
Sure. Things like vanilla forums known for good moderation, gamification, cloud-based. Or platforms like Better Mode, which really focus on being easy to use, having templates, lots of integrations, aiming for that polished, branded feel. It's about finding the right fit for your needs and your budget.
Okay, step one. Choose the tech wisely. What's next?
Second. Create a solid moderation framework, clear ground rules, terms of service. Make sure your internal team understands them and applies them consistently.
And deal with problems quickly.
Immediately. Remove bad posts fast. And focus on de-escalating arguments. Tackle the problem, not the person.
Got it. Third.
Third, plan your launch carefully. Don't just switch it on. Get beta testers, maybe 25 or so is a good number for diverse feedback. Plan your welcome messages, how you'll onboard new users.
Content calendars, too.
Absolutely. Content calendars, staffing calendars, and crucially, seed some content beforehand. Post some interesting discussions before you open the door so it doesn't feel empty.
Give it some life from day one.
Yeah.
Okay, number four.
Fourth, implement engagement strategies. Think about your users. Segment them if you can. Deliver relevant stuff. Use that content calendar. Watch your data. See what works.
Gamification again.
Yeah, rewards, leaderboards, badges can work really well. Plan recurring features like Tip Tuesdays or member interviews. Bring in experts from your organization for AMA's Ask Me Anything sessions.
Keep it human, you said.
Always. Keep the tone authentic, conversational, not corporate speak.
Makes sense. And the last one, number five.
Fifth. Get other employees involved. Don't let community management be isolated. Integrate it into the company strategy. Train other employees. Encourage them to participate.
Why is that important?
It shares the load, yes, but it also makes the community richer for members. They get different perspectives. Plus, employees can learn so much. Get product feedback, find experts, test ideas. It embeds the community into the whole organization.
That's a really comprehensive approach.
It
covers building it.
Yeah.
But once it's running, how do you actually know if it's working? How do you measure success?
That's a great question. And the good news is online communities are usually swimming in data.
So you can track things.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You use KPIs, key performance indicators, things like number of new users, how often people log in, how many posts and replies are happening, connection requests. These tell you about growth and engagement.
And this data is useful beyond just the community team.
Oh, absolutely. It's gold.
Yeah.
Marketing can gauge sentiment. Product teams can test ideas. HR can even use it to foster internal connections. It informs a whole business.
What a fascinating journey we've covered.
Yeah.
Really, from those early kind of clunky text-based BBSs right up to the super complex, slick platforms we use every single day. It's so clear these spaces aren't just evolving. They're actively changing how we relate to information. And maybe more importantly, how we relate to each other.
And that rapid change, that constant evolution, it brings up a really important thought, maybe something a bit provocative for everyone listening to consider.
Okay.
In this world that's increasingly shaped by algorithms, by feeds tailored just for us, what's our responsibility? As users, as community members, maybe as builders, what role do we play in making sure these digital spaces actually encourage informed, civil, inclusive discussion?
Instead of just consumption.
Or echo chambers.
Exactly. How do we shape them to be better? It's something worth reflecting on, I think. How can you take some of these insights and apply them in your own online life and the communities you're part of?